we come before you. Lord, I stand here in awe of who you are, what you're doing, and what you're continuing to do in each and every one of our lives. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for knowing that your word always accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. Father, the purpose of your word is to change us, to mold us, and to shape us into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you've given us the tools to do that in your word. So Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for preparing my heart. Thank you for preparing the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Father, I thank you for that precious Holy Spirit, that one that guides us, comforts us, directs us, and is a teacher within. So Father, I thank you for the revelation that your Holy Spirit shall give each and every one of us in our heart tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it was on a Sunday, Pastor Mark taught. It was a Wednesday or Sunday. I apologize for not looking it up, but he used that scripture in Matthew 15:13 about every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. I mean, I wrote it down, but I have that memorized because that's one of my favorite scriptures. And I started meditating on that. And here's a question. Because it says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So here's the question. What has God not planted? What does God not want planted in your life and my life? And as he was ministering, Pastor Mark's also one that told me about this lady, Carolyn Leaf, who does a lot of, well, this is what I wrote down just so you have a little bit more information. She's a cognitive neuroscientist, specializes in metacognitive and cognitive neuropsychology. Since 1980, she has studied and researched mind-brain connection. She talks about toxic thoughts. She said 75 to 90% of the illnesses that plagues us today are a direct result of our thought life. What we think about offsets us both physically and emotionally. The average person has over 30,000 thoughts per day. Her research shows that fear all on its own, just fear, triggers more than 14 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. There are intellectual and medical reasons to forgive. That's what she says. That's what she, in one of the research articles I read, that's what she stated. And as Pastor Mark was talking using that scripture, in her teaching, she uses an analogy of two trees. She's got a tree that's fruitful, green, producing because of the thoughts that we think. And she's got another one that looks black, dying, and dead. And I said, okay, Lord, let's go on a little venture here, Lord. He said, well, let's go to the beginning. Go to Genesis. I'm just going to take you on a little trip here and share with you some of the things the Lord shared with me. And then we've got some questions. Let's see, where do I want to start here, Lord? Okay. Let's start in Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 10. And God called this day, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, where the seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was it was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God was in the planting business. God was in the planting business from the beginning. Okay? Now go down to verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for me. So there was a planting that God was doing. And there's two types of seeds. Okay? There is the seed that gets planted to produce a fruit, to produce a tree. There's seeds that get planted to produce flowers. There's all kinds of seeds that God gave. But those seeds will produce after its kind. Okay? So there's a lesson to be learned that. We know that a seed reproduces after kind. If you plant an apple tree, you're not going to get oranges. If you plant an orange tree, you're not going to get plums. That's something that God established from the beginning. Now, stay in Genesis and go to chapter 2. Verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Okay? We know this story. God breathed into Adam. He became the first man. Then look what it says in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So here again, God is planting. Talking about planting seeds, now he planted a garden. And in verse 9 he says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he planted two different trees here, right? One was pleasant to the sight and good. The other that was planted in the midst of the garden was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And I started meditating on that because it's interesting that Carolyn Leaf chose trees as an example, because things that we think about, things that we plant in our lives or allow to be planted in our lives, will produce a good tree or it will produce an evil tree. Okay? Now, in verse 16, it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in that day, let me look up here because I'm having difficulty reading this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. See, there's things that we allow to be planted in your life and my life that causes physical and spiritual decay and death. Okay? That's something that God established in the Garden of Eden. Now, and I said earlier that Carolyn Leaf in her teaching describes our thoughts, our thought process like trees. Good trees, green and flourishing. The dark trees produce toxic thoughts. That's what she talks about. That's the analogy that she makes. Now, I have some questions. And I'm going to go through them, and then we're going to look at some other scriptures. How many could have, would have, should have statements have you made today? How many, if only, were part of your vocabulary today? How many times have you replayed in your head a conversation or a situation that pains you or one that hasn't even occurred yet? How many scenarios have you created of the unpredictable future? How much is speculation taking out of your day? Are you at cross purposes with yourself, going through the motions but not really committed to the goal, saying one thing but meaning another? That one hit me because we all have a tendency to do that. We say we're going to do things. It could be exercise goals. It could be diet goals. It could be all these things that we're saying we're going to do. But we don't do them. Do you ever make comments like, nothing goes right for me? Everything I touch fails. I always mess up. I'm not going to answer those. You have to answer them. Okay? Go over to Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse 4, I'm going to read down to verse 13. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, there's another planting. Okay? We're planted together in the likeness of his death. But we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. See, because we're planted together with him in that death, all those things that have been planted in us, was not planted by the Father, begins to get uprooted. Because when we come to the Lord, we have things that have been planted in us. All those questions I read, there's many times things of those questions that were planted in you and I that have to die. And the only way they can die is we have to experience the same death of Jesus Christ. Those areas have to be crucified. They have to die. That is not God's thought process. That is not the way God thinks and operates. That's not the way God wants us to live. The word planted there means born together with, of joint origin, grown along with, planted together. So all that is one of God's planting. And the reason we are planted together in the likeness of his death is because that's part of the process he has to use to uproot all those things that our Father didn't plant. Whether it be anger, whether it be unforgiveness, whether it be resentment. Any and all of those things, is that God's heart? Is that God's nature? So guess what? Where did they get planted? How did they get planted in us? They're from the old man. They're from our old nature. And God has to uproot those. Now, let me see here. Okay, go to Psalm 1:3. Start in verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How does he get that way? How do all of those things occur in this person that God's describing right here? It's in verse 2. What does it say in verse 2? It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. From the time I've come to the Christian Service Center, from the time Pastor Bill started his Christian Center, from the time Pastor Mark has taken over as the pastor of this church, they have drilled you and I on studying God's Word, meditating on His Word, allowing His Word to get inside. Why have they done that? And the Lord said, very simply, the more they planted the truth of God's Word, the greater chance you and I had of those things that weren't planted by the Father getting uprooted. They're not going to happen any other way. You know, we can stand here, you can sit there, and we can figure out, well, if I just do this step, all this is going to take care of it. No. God's Word is what changes us. God's Word is what causes those sins and that extra baggage we're carrying just to fall off. How many of you have ever been delivered of something, and all of a sudden, you finally gave up, and you said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust your word. And a week goes by and you go, wow, what happened? I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not thinking like that anymore. Because that which was not planted by the Father, you gave him permission, and you didn't even know you gave him permission, and he just uprooted it because of the seed of God's word that was planted in you. It will produce after its kind. A seed will reproduce after its kind. Go to Jeremiah, please. Verses 1 down to 17 are talking about a broken covenant. But in verse 16, it says, the Lord called thy name, a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit, which in noise of a great tumult he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. See, the Lord plants you and I. It says, every member of the body of Christ is planted in the body according to the Holy Spirit. You and I are planted in this local assembly because God planted us here. And when God plants you in a local assembly, it's so that you can grow and nourish and flourish. People that bounce around and think, oh, I can just watch church on the internet. You can grow, but we need the body of Christ. You need one another. I know both sides. I was able to flourish when I was in baseball and on the road 6 to 7 months out of the year, and the pastor at the church that we were going to in New York couldn't understand it, and he asked Sue, he goes, I don't understand. Why is your husband more on fire than people that come here every Wednesday and Sunday? It got me in trouble because once he found out why, it was because I had all the tapes of the marathon classes and all the tapes that Pastor Bill was doing that I was listening to while I was on the road. So guess what I was planting? I was planting the Word of God in my heart, which was causing me to change. Because I remember the first time I heard a message from Pastor Bill, I go, whoa, something's not right here. Okay? It wasn't the word he was preaching, it was what had been planted into me that didn't agree with what he was preaching. And the Holy Spirit said, just continue to listen, just continue to study, just give it time. And as a result of that word that was being planted by God, it began to change my life, my wife's life, and my family's life. Because that seed will reproduce after its own kind. In Jeremiah, go over to chapter 17. Chapter 17, starting verse 7. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. That's a pretty good scripture to memorize and know. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Go to verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's a pretty good place to be. But you know, when it says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water. What is this? The water of the word. And what happens to those, what happens to the roots of that tree that's being described here? It reaches out to the to that living, to that water that provides its nourishment, provides the things, that nutrients that it needs. And shall not see when heat cometh. When we're allowing God's word to be planted in my heart and your heart, that's what allows you and I to withstand the trials and tribulations, and when the heat gets turned up, you can handle it. Because you've been planted, you have the seed, the word of God planted inside your heart. And you're not going to wither. It seems like it sometimes. It seems like you're going to dry up and shrivel up. But you still have a taproot that's tied in to the heart of God. And what does God say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, where do you want me to go here? I know where he wants me to go. Okay, go over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 5. We know this parable, okay? It's the parable of the sower, right? It says, verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. It's interesting he throws that in the middle. He that hath an ear to hear. He was speaking to them in a natural and getting ready to reveal something in the spiritual. He was saying, if you have an ear, listen up. And he says, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. There are people that you can share the word of God with, and they will not be able to see what you're explaining to them, and they will not be able to hear or understand what you're saying to them. Because it's spiritually discerned. But then he goes on in verse 11. Now the parable is this. Okay? Trees, remember what we looked at in Genesis, trees reproduce after its own kind, right? Everything that God created reproduces after its own kind. Now the parable is this. The seed is what? The Word of God. This is the most powerful seed you can ever plant in your life or someone else's life. The seed of God's Word has the ability to transform and change anyone and everyone's life. Because the more seeds you plant in your heart, the more seed of God's Word you plant in someone else's heart, guess what? It causes things that were not planted there to be uprooted. Because things that God the Father didn't plant are always going to be contrary to His Word. Every single time they'll be contrary to His Word. Sue always tells me, and she's always right when it comes to this subject. She goes, if the world has put their stamp on it, you probably don't want to do it. Because God operates usually just the opposite of what the world says to do. So the world has all these seeds, and they're planting all these seeds over the news media and newspapers and everything. They're planting all these seeds. And you know what's interesting about it is what I said that she said about the effect fear has upon the thought process. Carolyn Leaf said. Guess what we're getting bombarded with every day? We're getting bombarded every day with media that is designed and planted to produce fear and to plant in you things that are contrary to the Word of God. God's in control. They're trying to tell you, no, God's not in control. I had a conversation with a client today. She was 91 years of age. She goes, what do you think about all this environmental stuff that's going on with climate change and everything else? And I knew she was a Christian. And I said, so what do you think's going on? And she goes, I think the rotation is changing a little. I said, well, I know in God's Word that He caused the sun to turn back. That's why we have leap year. Caused the time to stop, just briefly. But I said, I don't find anything in here about He's changing rotation. But I said, my wife shared with me a person that she saw on Pat Robertson who said, what's going on in the world and no politician, no newscaster, nobody understands is that when God created planet Earth, He created within planet Earth the ability to self-adjust. If it's been too hot for too long, He brings coldness. He causes all these things to change on planet Earth to create a balance, and the Earth is always adjusting and balancing itself. But they're not going to tell you that. They're saying it's the ozone layer. It's this, it's that. No, it's God's hand going, we got to adjust some things here. So I'm going to make it colder. Oh, I'm going to call this, what is those winds in California? Santa Ana winds? I'm going to cause those to pick up. All he has to do is speak it, and those things start to happen. Those things bring about changes. That's all that's going on. It's nothing different. So in verse 12, he says, these by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So what is the enemy, first thing he's going to do? He wants to steal this word that God is planting in your heart. He wants to steal it. He doesn't want it to go. He doesn't want it to get it implanted, planted in your heart, because he knows if it gets planted in your heart, it will cause other things that he didn't plant to be uprooted. Then verse 13, he says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And it's interesting. They're planted on what? They're planted on the rock. If you try to plant a tree or flowers or bushes on a rock, you don't get very good results. But then let me ask you a question. Why is it weeds can find a way to grow through cracks of cement, grow on rocks and everything else, but you plant something that God told you to plant? Weeds are those things that you and I are things that God didn't plant. They're not going to grow. But weeds have the ability to grow. You can lay down a brand new driveway. 6 months later, you go, how'd that weed get through that? But it did. Verse 14, and they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But on the good ground are they which is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, what do? They keep it. They keep it. See, we can come here and hear Pastor Mark, we can hear Frank, we can hear anyone teaching a word, and it can be a good word, and it can go on and enter in. We can allow it to get planted in our heart. But you and I have a job. We've got to keep it. We just can't walk out and say, oh, that was a great message. No, we got to keep it. We got to chew on it. We got to digest it. We got to let what that word was intended to do work in your heart and my heart. And that's a result of keeping it. That's the only way it's going to happen. If you take and cut off a big piece of steak and just put it in your mouth, how long are you going to have to keep it there before it gets digested and chewed? It's not just going to melt in your mouth. Some might if it's really good meat. But for the most part, it's not going to, it has to be chewed on. It has to be digested. Okay, go over to Matthew. Because the first scripture I looked at was in Matthew 15, correct? And we're compared to trees, right? Look at verse 15, start in verse 15. Chapter 7, thank you, Randy. Chapter 7, verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? See, Jesus is reminding us again here that grapes produce grapes. Figs produce figs. Grapes do not produce thorns, and figs do not produce thistles, because it goes against his established priority and order from the beginning in the in Genesis. Verse 17, it says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So, if we're trees planted by the rivers of living water, are we allowing God to plant things in our heart that produces a good tree and good fruit? Or are we allowing things of the world and things that are contrary to God being planted in our heart that produces bad fruit and evil fruit? It's a question we have to answer ourselves. We've all done it. Some of us still do it. But listen to what he says in verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Who's Jesus talking about here? Jesus is talking about false prophets. Just because someone comes up to you and says, I'm a Christian, you've heard me say this before, Keith Green, one of his favorite statements. Keith Green said, just because you can say that you're, you can go to McDonald's, but that doesn't mean you're a hamburger. Okay? We can call ourselves a Christian. We can come to church on a regular basis, but that which is planted within inside us, is it producing good fruit? Is it producing godly fruit? The planting of God in your heart and my heart will produce godly fruit. That's what he's saying here. You shall know them by their fruit. That's why when we had the school here, people who attended this church could send their children here, but there was a period of time in which they had to set, and they were being evaluated. I think it was 6 months. 6 months. And the pastoral staff, what were they doing? There was three areas that they were looking for. Regular attendance, tithing. What was the other, Denise? Fellowship. Fellowship. What was that looking at? That was looking at their fruit. What kind of fruit were they producing? God's doing the same thing. He's looking at the fruit of your life and my life. And I've had more than one situation where someone said, you know, so-and-so says this, so-and-so says that. I said, okay. They go, well, how come you're not saying anything about that person? I said, I don't need to. I said, I'm just going to watch them. I'm just going to observe. Because guess what? Pastor Mark said, if you squeeze them long enough, the only thing that should come out is Jesus juice. If you squeeze them long enough, the only thing that should come out of them is the fruit of the living God. Godly fruit. But guess what? Doesn't always happen, does it? But when it doesn't happen, what should that show you? That should show you and me that there's still things planted within us that God didn't plant that needs to be uprooted. Just the way it is. Go to, let me me see if I'm done here. Yeah, let's go over to 2 Corinthians. There's a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 55. Most of us know it. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. For my ways are higher than your ways." Is that true? Is God's thoughts higher than our thoughts? And is God's ways higher than our ways? Yeah. All the time. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We're in a fleshly body, right? This is an earthly temple, okay? It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Casting down every imagination. And I started looking at some of the stuff that Carolyn Leaf was talking about. And I got one thing. And I combined it. Pastor Mark, stinking thinking. Okay? Stinking thinking produces toxic Christians. Thinking stinking produces toxic Christians. How do we get toxic as Christians? How does your body get toxic? You start putting things in it, you start ingesting and taking things in your body that God never intended for you to take in your bodies, my body included, I'm not pointing myself out. We get toxic. The biggest thing in the health industry right now is detoxing. How do I detox my liver? How do I detox my gut? How do I detox this? There's more detoxing going on than there's ever been in the history of mankind. And I said, why? Well, you know, God has told us some things in His Word. I want you to go to Philippians. How are we doing there on time? We're good. Go to Philippians. You know which chapter I'm going to? Any idea? Good guess, but wrong. Good guess, Pastor Mark. You're right. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Are you God's brethren? Are you and I God's brethren? Okay, then listen up. It says, finally, brethren. You know, when he says finally, that means he's probably been trying to get something across for a little while. You know? How many of you had a teacher that said to you when you were a student, finally, you got it? Well, that's what's being said here in Philippians. Finally, brethren, Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. The word true there means loving the truth, speaking the truth, being truthful. Whatsoever things are honest, honorable, to rever, to revere, to worship. Whatsoever things are just. Word just means they're righteous, keeping the commands of God, faultless, guiltless. Him whose way of thinking, feeling, acting is wholly conformed to the will of God. That's what that word just means. Whatsoever things are pure means clean, modest, chaste, physically pure, mentally blameless, morally blameless. Whatsoever things are lovely, pleasing. What things are pleasing to the Lord? Whatsoever things are of a good report. One of the translations said, uttering words of good omen, well spoken of. Sounding or speaking well. A good report. A good report. You can walk out of here and you can have a doctor's appointment tomorrow and they can give you a bad report. And I've said this many times and I'll say it again. Man can only diagnose. He does not control the prognosis of whatever report he gives you. Man does not control the prognosis of any report you've been given. But God does. Man diagnoses and God does what's necessary to bring about the prognosis. And you have to know that, no matter what the report is, because God is faithful. It says, if there be any virtue, course of thought, feeling, and actions, there be any praise. You might want to think on these things. That's not what it says. It says, think on these things. Just take a second to ponder. If you started planting that verse and what it says in that verse in your life on a daily basis, do you think God might start uprooting things that he's not planted in your heart, in my heart? Yeah, he would. That's why it's so important to plant God's word, and God's word is the seed. His word is the seed. I got something written down here. I don't know why I have it written down, but I'm going to look at it. Because I thought I looked at it, but I guess I didn't, Lord. Oh, now I know, Lord. Thank you. You know, in 2 Corinthians 10, when we're looking at verses 3 to 6, here's something that the enemy uses to destroy your life and my life. And it's a very, 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 very subtle planting. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's a very dangerous planting. When you and I start comparing your walk with another brother or sister's walk, you start comparing your life to someone else's life. When you start doing that, you're going to open yourself up to things being planted in your heart that God never intended to come into your heart. Because I love Debbie, but you know what? I'm sorry, she's not my standard. I love my wife, but she's not my standard. And she would tell you the same thing. I'm not her standard. Jesus is our standard. The only one we should be comparing ourselves to is Jesus Christ. I shouldn't even be standing here going, oh, you're a good man. You're a really good man. You know how much of that goes on every day? It's rampant. I can only imagine. No, I'm not going to sing a song. I can only imagine what it looks like to God when he looks down upon his creation and people are taking images after images after images of themselves. That one bothers me, but not as bad as the one where they take pictures of their food and post it. I don't get that. Enjoy your meal. Enjoy your meal. Why does everyone in the world have to see what you just ate? I'm not going to tell you what my wife said. Go ahead. Okay. Why don't they post what happens to that food in 24 hours? Because that's reality. That's really what happens in life. You eat something, your body gets rid of it. You eat something, your body gets rid of it. Oh, yeah, it looks great on a plate. But that's what chefs are designed to do, to make it presentable and colorful. So when they sit on your plate, you go, doesn't look like that the next day. I'm sorry. But see, as I was looking at this, as I was meditating on what Pastor Mark, that scripture that I love in Matthew 15, the Lord just started saying, Larry, there's many things that are still planted in your life that I didn't plant. And you got to be careful, because if we just say, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow. If you plant the seed, once you plant that seed, once it gets planted, does it stop growing? No. You plant an apple seed, it continues to grow until it produces an apple tree. And that apple tree continues to grow until it produces apples. But yet we think, eh, not now, Lord. I got time. I don't want to deal with it now. And the seed's going, I'm continuing to grow. Whether it's a good seed or an evil seed, they both continue to grow. It's your responsibility and it's my responsibility to say, Lord, show me everything that you've not planted. Everything. And if it wasn't planted by you, Lord, uproot it. And every one of us still have things in our lives that need to be uprooted. I'm not going to stand here and kid myself, and I don't believe you're going to sit there and kid yourself. But see, When the seed is planted, you're going to get a harvest. You're going to either get good fruit or you're going to get evil fruit. You're either going to get those little trees that Carolyn Leaf talks about that are growing and prosperous and the brain's being regenerated and all that's going on, or you're going to get that dark black tree that looks like it's dying. And you run across people, and I run across people every day that have nothing good to say about themselves or others. And I feel bad for those people, because that's not who God created. That's not who God wants them to be. I had a lady in my office yesterday, 2 days ago, has been to over 35 doctors. That's just doctors. That's not including therapists, chiropractors. That's just doctors. And she was crying out. She's like, I don't know what to do. She says, can you fix me? I said, I don't know. She goes, what do you mean? She goes, everyone else tells me that they can fix me. I said, I got to do an evaluation on you. And your history is going to confirm what my evaluation shows me. And then the God that I know will show me what your problem is. And he can fix you. Because he's the one who made your body. He's the one who created your body. He knows what's going on. But I said, I'm not going to lie to you. I said, I think you've been given a runaround. Because when you hear her talk, you can go, I got to find a way to get rid of this patient. But you know what? God's going to do the same thing with people he sends through these doors. They've got all kinds of stuff that are planted in them. That to you and I, because we've been sitting under this word, we've been planted under the word of God, they are wacko. You know what? God loves the wackos. Because you want to take a selfie? Pick up your phone and take a picture of yourself, because you know what? You and I were both one of those wackos. We can put our picture right alongside theirs. But God is wanting to plant in you and I this seed, the seed of God's word, because when it gets planted deep within our hearts, it lands on that fertile soil of our hearts and it begins to produce what God wants to be produced in our lives. I mean, look at our pastor. He's changed by the planting of God's word in his heart. You listen to Carter Conlon, he's changed. David Wilkerson, you can listen to all of them that are truly preaching the uncompromised word of God. They were changed by the planting of God's word. And when you allow the planting of God's word, you will be changed and I will be changed. Not some of the time, all the time. Why? Because his word does not return void. It accomplishes what it was sent out to do. When it was sent out to be planted in your heart, it was for one reason, to change you and to change me into the image and likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the planting of your word in our pastors' lives. Thank you for the planting of that uncompromised word that you put in Pastor Bill and Elnora's. It's been transferred and the mantle's transferred to Pastor Mark, and he continues to preach that uncompromised word. And Lord, forgive us of the times that we go, yeah, I don't like that word. Why does he have to preach that? You know what, Lord? We need to repent of that, because that which was preached was probably exactly what we needed to have planted in our heart at that time to cause something to be uprooted that was not planted there by you, Father. So forgive us for that. And we give you permission in those areas to uproot it, to remove it. And Father, we thank you for the continual growing of good seeds producing good fruit that will be able to stand the test of time. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read one other scripture. And then I'll finish. Ah, thank you, Lord. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted. Who planted? God planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, we're to plant the word of God in others. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. See, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. The Lord plants us. He uses us to plant the seed of God in other people's lives. He uses us to water. But it's only God. Only God can bring about the increase. Only God can cause the fruit of His Spirit to grow in your life and my life. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for knowing that we cannot take credit for one thing, Lord. Because you are the one that does it all. You're the only one that can change your heart. You're the only one that can cause the seed of your word to land on the fertile soil of someone's heart, and allow it to take root and begin to grow and produce that which you have planned and purposed for every individual that receives that engrafted word, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.